Are you hiding your mansion? While the young people's blood.
That's old Bob Dylan. And this is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. And we are going to be speaking to Professor Charles Tacko. He is a lawyer and writer. And he has written, together with Beth Lyons and another lawyer practicing international law, a very important article titled A Call to the United Nations, No Transfer to Rwanda of the ICTR Acquitted, Released, and Incarcerated Persons. And that is published in Pan African Visions, panafricanvisions.com. Incidentally, Professor Tacko is the recipient of, quite recently, of the Victoire Ingabire Award for Peace in the Name of Peace and Democracy for his work at the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, and for someone who's fought for the truth about the ad hoc tribunals and some of the negative results of that, those tribunals. Professor Tacko, are you there? Hello? Professor Tacko?
Yes?
Oh, good. Thank you. I thought we had lost you. You've written a wonderful and very important article, in my opinion, about the failure of the ad hoc tribunal for Rwanda, because there are, people don't know this, but there are Rwandans who were acquitted and who have served their time, others who have served their time, and they are in prisons around Africa. And now there's talk of the United Nations transferring them to the country of Rwanda. It's outrageous. Can you explain how this has happened?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Could you hear me?
Yes. Let me just get away from this so much noise. Yes, I can hear you, please. Hello?
Yes. I guess we have...
Yes.
Can you talk about your article and explain what the issue is with the prisoners?
Yes. This article is very important. We published in Pan African Vision because Pan African Vision is a media outlet that is widely read internationally and in Africa, United Nations, and in many places. Mm-hmm. And this article was activated by the fact that international criminal justice, at the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda failed. It failed the victims, it failed international law, international legal order, and that it was created to serve political objectives. And finally, it is the platform that by which the RPF came to power. It gave them the courage, energized them, and encouraged impunity for the RPF to continue its assault of the crimes not only in Rwanda, but in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Mm-hmm. If that thought has been a balanced court, if we were there to fight criminality, wherever it found, there would never have been any incursion to the Democratic Republic of Congo. Throughout the trials in the ICTRO, the RPF government in Rwanda obstructed justice for the accused. Mm-hmm. They demonstrated every time the accused were acquitted. For example, it became difficult for us to go to Rwanda and to approach the victims for the cases, including the case of François-Xavier Nzunemeye, our client, was acquitted on appeal. And at every time that we call witnesses or got an acquittal or sentence was reduced, the RPF demonstrated and threatened stopping cooperation with the court.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, that degree of animosity towards this acquitted, towards the convict, and towards their families and witnesses is unprecedented. And therefore, by even debating or considering Rwanda mm-hmm. as a country to which they could send these people to continue to serve their sentences or the acquitted or those who have finished their sentence, it's a death sentence. An extraordinary death sentence by the UN, even to consecrate that. And that's why we wrote that article. Mm-hmm. It will be a disservice to the international rule of law, and it will send a clear message to the world that impunity has triumphed over international law and international justice. And that's what motivated me and my friend, Bev Lyons, to write this article. Secondly, we were informed also about the of Victor Nabere. Nabere, who have suffered persecution since he went to Rwanda, her other crime being to participate in the political life of her country, Rwanda. She was jailed. The African Court of People and Human Rights have a decision that has not been respected. And how come it, a legal system where there's no redress, that some people, 5 years after they got her again, after a case have been ongoing, and detained her indefinitely, and who is the prosecutor? Is the judge hearing the case with the prosecutor and judge in the same case? Such a legal system that permits this type of injustice, this mockery of justice. Realistically, mm-hmm. the United Nations that is supposed to set standards for the rest of the world mm-hmm. cannot send the acquitted, the convict, and those affiliated to Rwanda. Mm-hmm. That will be unprecedented death sentence imposed by the international community and an act of impunity for Rwanda to disrespect the rule of law and to continue its military adventures and destabilizing effect in the sub-region. That's why we wrote the article.
Yeah. That's how they excuse their invasions of Congo. Is they always say they're looking for the Interahamwe, the Hutu, and they justify invading their neighbor, and the world says, well, they should have impunity because they were the victims in 1994. Isn't that right?
Does anybody realistically believe that if they were in 1994, you had a group of fighters, a group of people who went to the Congo and they took up arms to continue to fight against the RPF in Rwanda. Does anybody realistically believe that they will still be strong enough? 1994, there were other adults fighting, that they will still be there, strong enough in order to be able to continue to fight. Many of them should already be old, or many of them dead. And I just think this question of fighting the FDLR or Interahamwe is an attempt for them to continue to persecute many Rwandans, both Hutu and Tutsis, who just want to live their life in peace, but who do not agree with the political objective of the RPF. Mm-hmm. Take note, when the very last time I went to Rwanda, I was in the hills of Nyagashambu, outside Kigali, and I came in a bookshop and I bought a book, La Nuit Rwandaise, first edition. And there's one Gautier, I think it was in page 7, who clearly said that 96% of Rwandan Hutu are genociders. And this book was widely circulated in Rwanda. It had official appeal. That ideology that criminalizes ethnicity, Hutu ethnicity in Rwanda, that the government is supposed to protect and protect everyone. Mm-hmm. That ideology, I regret, is something that must be that warranted an investigation by the UN. Mm-hmm. But it continues to play this way because this book, La Nuit Rwanda, paragraph 7 to 9, published and widely circulated by Wang Gutier, was widely circulated. I got a copy. Two, these Rwandans, if they get there, And the idea, the people were always bringing the idea, the wild and expansive idea of, they call it apology of genocide, and which definition is known only to the Rwandan government, national operator, where, to incarcerate them and keep them in jail forever. And therefore, what the United Nations should be doing should be to hold the Rwandan government accountable to its human rights record, the European Union to be able to invoke Article 96 of the ACP, European Union Cotonou Agreement, and hold the Rwandan accountable. And two, the case of Victor Inyabore is an act of torture. Mm-hmm. And Rwanda is a signatory of state party to the Convention of Torture, United Nations Convention, to be held accountable, the peer review mechanism, to be able to hold them accountable, to set her free and set other political prisoners free, and realistically hold themselves, project themselves as a government for all Rwandans, that can protect all Rwandans. What we need in the Great Lake now is peace. Peace and peace and peace. The bloodletting is too much. And this act of taking these people to Rwanda, the Rwandan government trying to put up infrastructure to jail these people, or the United Nations holding them out as stateless persons in the international order itself, at least, again, it's law of the United Nations. I will pray this, that the United Nations Security Council and all other countries that respect the rule of law to be able to say, no, this should not be sent to Rwanda.
So you use the word in your article, a call to the United Nations, no transfer of to Rwanda of the ICTR acquitted, released, and incarcerated persons. You call it Kafkaesque. It certainly is. I mean, it's so bizarre that an ad hoc court could open by saying we're going to bring advanced justice, true justice. They even patronized Africa. They said to Africa, and then they put on this bizarre show that ends with people who were refugees. They were refugees in countries, and they are acquitted, which means they're innocent people, and they're not allowed to return to be refugees where they were picked up. How is that possible?
What? The underlying ghost of impunity in this is that this, the crime that the United Nations has actually committed in this, or permitted, or legitimized, or normalized, is the crime of human trafficking. Human trafficking is one of the crimes that the United Nations system criminalizes. Mm-hmm. And there's a treaty regime on human trafficking. The kidnap of these people from the Cameroon, from France, from Belgium, and many other countries, Malawi, carrying them to ICT, and keeping them there for many years without finally trying. Many of them have died under the system, under the UN system, including innocent people, And besides that, their families have not, there will be no reparation to their families. So for me, I think this is human trafficking. And the United Nations should be able to somehow regulate itself and realistically form an international commission to look into the situation of these acquitted convicts and others, an international commission to advise the UN properly that this is itinerizing human trafficking. And because of the human trafficking about kidnapping people and carrying them to justices and carrying them to Rwanda, who were in legally under the refugee status, has now metastasized into a policy by which countries which were supposed to be the gatekeepers of international law, international order, are now also practicing human trafficking under the pretext of fighting against immigration and all whatnot. So this is case of these Rwandans that acquitted those who finish their sentences, or the other, the threat, the mere threat of taking them back to Rwanda, again, is actually internalizing human trafficking, of which they have been victims ever since they were brought into this, that system.
It's defining them as subhuman. They're just pieces that can be moved on a chessboard. It's almost like the old colonial system where the British would arrest somebody in Ireland and send them to Australia, or someone in India and put them to work in the Caribbean.
Yeah, you're actually right. It's surprising. Hello?
Yes? Yes, can you?
Surprisingly, this happened at the time that the former British government had wanted to enter into a bilateral treaty for human trafficking to take refugees from England to Rwanda. Mm. And in exchange for money, they paid them a lot of money in order to formalize this act of human trafficking.
Yes, save money.
And once it had gone to Rwanda, that's a country that has a land problem. The land problem, one of the leading causes of the problem we have in the Great Lakes, in Rwanda in particular. And they want to take them to Rwanda. And then not soon after that, many of the refugees, in spite of the fact that there have been a lot of human rights concerns, especially with the government, if they got there very soon, the Rwanda will become a center for trade, for this individual now to get into the Congo and many other places and become mercenaries, center for the exportation of mercenaries and all of these people, because there is no system in place to say that these individuals are seeking immigrants in England. And many of them were fleeing from their countries, respective countries, simply because of the policy, the colonial policies of Britain in those days in their countries. Mm-hmm. The colonial policies that invaded their countries, took the resources, and impoverished people, and many of them, now they flee to Britain, and instead of looking for a realistic solution or solving the problem in their country of origin, solving the problems so they can go back and relive their lives and rebuild their countries, you want to send them to Rwanda, and Rwanda now is taking action to ensure that that happens. No. No, Africa should not no longer be a dumping ground for human trafficking. And the human trafficking is another variation of the slave trade and the slavery that went on, which is now whitewashed as human trafficking in order, again, to make Africa a battleground. Of course, what I have said before and I've written about, and myself and my friend Bev Lyons, we've written a book, which will be published soon, The Politicization of Justice at the ICTRO. It will be published very soon. And we'll point out clearly at this, the colonial underpinnings of these crimes, the responsibilities with them. They should own those responsibility. And if there will be any form of cooperation, it should be to make sure that there's an environment for Africans to live and enjoy resources, the human resources, and take part in the political life of their countries, and free and fair elections, and there should be rule of law. I have nothing against people ethnicity. Ethnicity in Africa is the strength of Africa, but at the same time, the politicization of ethnicity is what I totally resent and I object to.
By the way, we look forward to that book. It's so important. You know, I remember that they opened the tribunal and they said, why are we having this tribunal in Africa? Some reporters asked that of the president of the court, and he said, for social and cultural reasons. And the others, people accused of international crimes, of course, were in The Hague, but there was a clear racial and colonial mind working there.
Well, you know, in the international court system, that's what we call institutional racism. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, as my friend Beth Lyons has also written. We are not saying that the judges are racist or they have any particular animus. Mm-hmm. But the institutions were created in the way that they are overly the implementation of the rules governing the court and the statute of others energizes institutional racism. For example, the international legal system that we have did not actually consider one thing, that there will be acquittals. In the African framework, in our own cultural justice system, mechanical Africa, we think about the person's question of people being acquitted and being rehabilitated into a system. Two, in this international court, ICT arose, starting before ICC and many others, we find that the cultural factors are completely dismissed.
Mm.
Take note, the people, sometimes the people in the same country, they live under the same cultural rules. They have the cultures, the cultural factors of justice, the cultural factors of the witnesses, the cultural institutions by which the people come back and rebuild their society. For example, looking at the case of Uganda, Dominic Ongwen, where I was lead counsel of the ICT era, the Ugandan system, not the Uganda matter of put, is a system by which a majority of the people, the only form of justice they had to rebuild their communities and to rebuild their lives and go on. All the Dominic Ongwen have been prosecuted out of thousands of people, and he was a child soldier. He was adopted at the age of 7. In Rwanda also, I foresaw the law on genocide ideology that children who were not even born, who were not alive, who were not born in 1994, many of them are impaled today because genocide ideology. Or they extend it, by other words, they use this law to criminalize the Hutu and other people.
Collective guilt.
And therefore, they said the Gachacha. If the Gachacha, I am a traditional cultural leader in my own home, in the southern Cameroon, and we have the same cultural system. But the cultural system is to reconcile the community and bring about peace so they can rebuild their life. How can it that, side by side with the Gachacha and the laws of genocide ideology, you keep the memory alive, not in order to reconcile the people, not to honor the memory of the dead, and to reconcile the community by using it for political objectives, to use it in order to blackmail political opponents, political dissent, and jail the people, keep them in jail in the system in which a judge, like the case of Victor Nyabori, sitting on the bench, trying a case in which it's not a party, 5 years order, the judge makes an order and incriminates her. Therefore, the prosecutor, in all legal systems, including the ICC, Article 54, the question of issuing a summons. The judge may make an order for a summons, but the prosecutor must apply for it. It is a procedural tool of investigation to bring people to court. It's not for the judge on his own to determine that somebody should be brought and sacrificed on a serious case of that nature, even when the person was not a party to it and transformed the nature of the case. That is not a legal system under which you can take this acquitted person, these people who have served their sentence, these people who are in jail, many of them have died, to bring them and potentially their families into this type of system. This is not a system that exists in Rwanda or exists in any country in the world.
Yes. It is really a tragedy. It's Professor Charles Taku, together with Beth Lyons, you've written a wonderful article. We're all very pleased that you were given the Victoire Ingabire Award. Your work shows how important this issue is, and we really look forward to the book because the ICTR really deserves the type of examination you're going to provide. We thank you very, very much, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I just wanted to say that I really take the opportunity to thank the committee that actually nominated you for the award.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been the former president of the International Criminal Court Bar. I'm a member for life of the Governing Council of African Bar. I'm the president of Reparations, the Reparation Committee of the Bar, and one of the leading figures for reparations to Africa for colonial crimes.
Mm.
And our views about Rwanda is about the regime, about the PF. It has nothing to do with Hutu or Tutsi, as the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
These Rwandans just want to live in peace and rebuild their lives. It's about a regime, and that regime had the opportunity to change, to comply with the international rule of law, and the United Nations has a duty to ensure that its credibility has been eroded, it should not be eroded, and to stop this act, potential act of human trafficking. Thanks so much.
So, thank you very much. You summarized it very nicely. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Professor Charles Taggart. His article is titled, A Call to the United Nations, No Transfer to Rwanda of the ICTR Acquitted. Underline that, folks, acquitted. In other words, they were not guilty of the crime. They're ordinary citizens like the rest of us, but they remain prisoners of the UN system. You could call it an archipelago, I guess. There are also those who've been released, in other words, served their time, and some who are still incarcerated. They were UN prisoners. It's a responsibility of the international community. And I'm not making up a word here. This is the United Nations. They're not to be delivered into the hands of a country from which they were legal refugees. That is to say, they have refugee status because they had a reason to be fearful for their lives and the lives of their families. It's a horrific situation. You can read the article in panafricanvisions.com. Professor Taku is spelled T-A-K-U, Charles Taku. You can find it. Everyone should read that article, and you will be well-armed on international law and responsibility of Canada as a member of the United Nations, by the way, to not hide and remain silent, but to speak up for the rights of everyone in a court, not just the prosecutor, not just the judges, but also the accused person who is presumed innocent, and particularly those who actually fight the trial and are innocent. They should not be incarcerated, but they are, and they definitely shouldn't be transferred. There's another element to it I'm going to mention, that is that, shockingly, already prisoners who were convicted in the ad hoc tribunal of Sierra Leone have been transferred already. They're already there. And it has not been a blip on the screen of people who believe in human rights and international law. These prisoners who were convicted are Sierra Leone citizens and some Liberians. They're in Rwanda. How does that make any sense? I'll tell you how it makes sense. I'll answer my own question. Colonialism is simply the way the British and the French operated in Africa, and the Americans are learning how to do it, and it's the same old game. You just treat them as pieces called Africans, and you move them wherever you want to. This is the Taylor Report. 334578 is coming up, and, of course, Pedro has been on the ball and done the whole thing himself. We'll see you next week.